In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the boog, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We're back. For those that listen this morning, it's the second time you've seen me today, and it's the second time that we're going to have our live practice recap, Q&A. You're going to hear me monologue about a couple of things, and then I'm going to open the floor like we did yesterday and have a lot of fun. I'm no trumpets today. I know that's going to disappoint some folks, but yesterday the trumpets seemed to get distracting. So we're gonna have some fun though. First, shout out to Pete Turney for joining. Make sure you join when you can. I'm gonna go through the members' questions first. So make sure you guys get that members' questions, super chats, things like that, and then we'll get to as many as we potentially can. I want to go through my main points from today really quick, and then I'm gonna open the floor. So I've talked to enough people and I've seen it with my own eyes, and I think it's okay to say at this point in time, Omar Mabson is your number two running back, potentially 1B. Like, let's just go ahead and start the hype train. I think it's totally fine at this point in time to say that. He is the second guy in the midst of every single drill. I think he's put in the work this offseason. He's impressed this coaching staff, and physically he's impressed me. I think the conversation now at running back is not – at this point in time, to me the conversation is not who's going to be the number two running back. To me the conversation is how many snaps – how much of a share does Omar get? I really think that's the conversation, and I'm okay stamping that. I made it a point today. I told y'all that I watched defense all day yesterday. That was my goal today. Like, let's get eyes on this running back room. Let's get eyes on this thing, and let's figure this out. Is this just a – you know, flash in the pan type thing, or is this real? And at this point in time, I believe it's real. He went second every single rep. There was even some reps that I saw where he went first. And unfortunately, again, I guess he could always turn it around and change some things as camp goes on. But I saw Bryson Washington going like fourth at times. It just is what it is. So we can have that discussion on what that means and how impactful that is for those that had high hopes for Bryson Washington. I guess he could still, you know, he could still turn it around. He could still have a really good camp and kind of steal it at the end. But dang, man, I don't know. You're going to have to do something special to take it away from Omar. He's that good, and he's that high up, I think, in the pecking order. So I'd love to know y'all's thoughts on that. Hit me with your thoughts on that. I think it's legitimate. I don't think the conversation anymore is who's number two. It's Omar. I want to switch gears and talk about offensive line a little bit. I did not see this yesterday. Zach said this was the way the pecking order was yesterday, and to me this is the storyline. And seeing it 2 days in a row, I think, is pretty significant. But everyone expected Stanton Ramil to be your starting left tackle. Doesn't sound like that's the case. It sounds like that Joe Simmons is going to be your starting left tackle, at least for now, and Stanton is going to be your right tackle. I don't think that has to mean anything pro or con either way. Golish mentioned in the opening press conference, he talked about Stanton's positional flexibility from left to right. And I think that was a signal I think that was a signal to everybody. That's two practices in a row now. They're both with the first team. And I got to give kudos to Zach, too, because I feel like Zach was the only one that talked about this potentially being a possibility. And I don't know if it's necessarily from intel or just his opinion. And I feel like he caught a lot of grief for it. Oh, no, Stanton. They brought in Stanton to be the left tackle. Like, that's what it's going to be. Doesn't seem like that's going to be the case. It seems like Joe Simmons, again, is left, and Stanton Rimmel's on the right. When you talk about pecking order, again, the starting offensive line was Joe Simmons, Derek Plaz on the left, Cole Best right there in the middle, Skinner on the right at right guard, and then Rimmel at right tackle. And then from what I could see, Jacob Strand, believe it or not, was the number two guy at left tackle, with Pritchett being right behind him. Behind Derek Plaz a few times was Mason Mathis. And then at center, you had Cale Ellis, and you also had Bear McWhorter. But Bear McWhorter also got some reps at right guard. Right guard was Skinner, and his immediate backup was Layer. So Skinner and Layer, which is the same thing as Spring. And then right tackle was Rimmel, TJ Hedrick, and Wilson. So I don't know if there's a storyline there or not, but that seems to be the pecking order there at offensive line. Wide receiver, I think it's okay now to go ahead and crank up the Chaz Nimrod hype train. He's an outside guy, guys. He's your number one left outside wide receiver. Now, remember, this offense wants to go really, really fast. So your right outside wide receiver and left outside wide receiver are pretty much going to remain stationary. Like, Keyshawn Singleton's on the right side. He's probably not going to play a ton on the left side, and vice versa. Chaz Nimrod's your number one guy on the outside. Deshaun Spencer has made that big of an impact that the combination of Deshaun Spencer in the slot and Chaz Nimrod on the outside is of more value than Chaz Nimrod at slot and Jeremiah Koger on the outside. That's the way I see it. That's the way the reps went. Chaz didn't take a single rep in the slot. It was Deshaun Spencer, then Christian Neptune, then Bryce Kane. That was your 1-2-3 in the slot. On the outside, on the left, it was Chaz Nimrod, Jeremiah Koger, Sam Turner. That might get people excited a little bit. Already kind of worked his way back. He's ahead of Mark Casey right there as far as third on the left side. And then on the right side, it's Singleton. It's Brian Williams Jr. and then Eric Smith. I would love to know how they decide that. Who's the left guy and who's the right guy? I don't know the answer to that, and I'm probably going to make sure I ask that question, but what makes a good right outside wide receiver and what makes a really good left outside wide receiver? I don't know the answer to that. Let's see, some other notes that I had that I want to go over. I just really am impressed with Omar, man. That's probably the biggest thing. Little things, when you talk about a team as a whole, like being a whole unit and not like offense and defense, or break it even down further and like offensive positions versus defensive positions. Today, Von Trail, when they were warming up, he was all the way across the other side of the facility and he was getting the wide receivers jacked up. I don't know why. I catch little things like that. That means something to me. That means I'm not just the defensive line coach and I'm only worried about the defensive line. Y'all do y'all, I'll do us. He's invested in everybody. That speaks to me. Golish going to different position groups speaks to me. I don't know. Those are the things that I notice. The music today, I'll put this as a note. We walked in and the music was so loud, you could not even talk to the person next to you when they were stretching or warming up. So I had to go outside. And I guess that's how you know you're getting older. Because used to, I'd have been, that had got me fired up and I'm ready to roll. But it was so loud, I had to walk outside. And we were talking, like, I might throw, if I stood in, stayed in there the whole time, I might have thrown up from the bass and everything that's going on. It was really, really loud. As far as notes go, I think that's pretty much it. On defense, it was pretty much chalk. The only big note that Zach had for defense was that, remember yesterday I mentioned that Champ was working with the box defenders, or not the box defenders, the in-between the hash defenders. Today it changed and he was working with the corners. And when he would go with the corner, yesterday he went with the first group every time he would do a rep. When he would go with the corners, he would go with the first group every time he did a rep. Champ is going to be a factor. So I think from there, I'm ready to kind of open it up. So y'all make sure you fire your questions in. I'm going to scroll back up to the top, and we're going to get this thing rolling. So let's see. I'm going to start with this one right here, John Pine, saying, I hope Mabson can pass protect. From talking to people on staff and close to the program, I think this could potentially be one of the best aspects of his game, believe it or not. Even at 18 years old, he seems to take pride in that. And that could be a reason why he's shot up as far as importance or being on the field. He's a smaller guy, so when you get in a game, when I say smaller, I only mean smaller in height. I mean, he's 5'8 or 5'9, like 220 pounds. But length obviously helps in pass protection. So he doesn't have the length there. But he obviously, he definitely has the desire to do that. Let's see. Do they do any situation awareness type settings like defense, 3rd and 10? Need to get off the field. They do that in the periods that we aren't there. They have referees that are there for every practice, which I think is very important. And they rep these scenarios. Like in every one of those scenarios are like scrimmages. So it's legit. Like there's penalties, there's, you know, procedure penalties, there's pass interference, there's holding. There's all that stuff, and it seems like you'll do a lot of red zone stuff. You'll do a lot of, like you said, 3rd and long, a lot of 2-minute stuff. Like you'll do a lot of those situational type stuff throughout camp in those team periods that we don't get to see and we'll probably never get to see, which is fine. Let's see here. AG said Porter is going to have those guys pass blocking their tails off. Yeah, I can see that. Larry Porter, they were doing a really good drill that I haven't really seen. They were really working on ball security and keeping your shoulders square while you're, you know, moving through. They had these pads and they had to go like left and right and around like you're weaving in and out. And the whole time you got a ball with a cord wrapped around it and they're trying to pull it out and you're having to like fight to keep your shoulder square so it doesn't turn you and get you going off your mark. So that's like focusing on having the pressure on the running on the ball as a running back is definitely a big deal. I'm just curious, what exactly do they want from Washington? That's a great question. Golish said specifically it twice now that it's something to do with conditioning / being in shape. I think he said specifically in media days, it's not about can I go out there and do one rep. It's about can I go play 5, 6, 7 plays in a row. Now, how do you prove that in this type setting. I don't really know. I don't know if it's a, it's something that you earn in the workouts. I don't know if it's something that whenever you go to those team periods, they run multiple plays in a row to kind of see how you can hold hold or carry the load. No pun intended. I'll just say this, James. Whatever it is, he hasn't shown it yet. Whatever they want to see from him, they either haven't seen it yet or this is all part of a challenge for him that he's going to have to earn. So that's all I can really say. I don't know if there is something specific. Buster going down really hurts. It does hurt for depth. There's no doubt about it. I really don't think that he was going to be a first team factor, but him in the second rotation, he could have easily been like sixth or seventh guy in that rotation, I think. So really need him back, and hopefully it's not going to be something that really takes him out half the year, because you got to think he's not even running or anything right now. So it's going to be a ramp up period just from conditioning that he's going to have to take, even when he can get back to it to be able to play. How's my breakout wide receiver Jeremiah Koger doing? He's number two on the left side, and what I can't quite figure out is, I think it's pretty easy to see that they just feel like Chaz is a better weapon. Chaz coupled with Deshaun Spencer is a better weapon than Koger and Nimrod. So take that for whatever it's worth. He's got some work to do to get in that starting rotation. Turner time. I guess that was on me talking about Sam being on third team. I think that's pretty significant considering this is his first real practice back. I still think he has a bright future. He can still be somebody that could be a factor. So we'll see. Biggest improvements from spring that I've noticed. I got to really think about that one. The offensive line seems to know more about everything, seems more known for the offensive line. Like it feels like they're now working on not figuring out who the five are, but working on gelling together. So there's less discovery going on, I feel like, from a starting five potential, at least through the first two practices. I hope that answers your question. I'll say this, and I said this on Afternoon Delight. Fall camp, you see around the country, these people are trying to figure out who fits, figure out what's the best this, figure out what's the best that. Guys, I think they've already figured it out. I don't think there's any figuring to do in fall camp. I think they know what they want their wide receiver rotation to be. I think they know what their offensive line rotation needs to be. I think they know what their running back rotation needs to be. I think they've already done that. They've already figured that whole piece out. That's what gives me a little bit more optimism, is like, we're not wasting reps. We're going to give everybody an opportunity, but for the most part, like we kind of got this thing rolling in the right direction. Like we may have to figure out a few pieces, but on offense, I feel like they kind of know what direction they're going in. Have we ever had a head coach running reps with the guys? Everybody saw that video Zach put out of everybody that he put out of Golish. They were running a drill where you got two receivers and then the quarterback has to make a decision on which receiver to go to based off of who the defensive back in this particular drill, like chooses to defend, or like I think they call it relates to. Like if he relates to one guy, you go to the other. And Golish was the DB. That was kind of cool to see him in a couple of those drills. Aubinator, is this Cobb's last year? This is such an interesting question, okay? Because Jeremiah Cobb, this is his fourth year. Okay? So in most other years, this is it. But now that they've got the 5-for-5 in motion, coupled in with the fact that the NFL does not super highly value running backs, could that have opened up a potential for Jeremiah Cobb to come back for a fifth year? I'll say this. Jeremiah Cobb checks every single box of what Alex Golish wants in a football player, not just a running back. So I think that'll be a fun conversation to have at season's end, or maybe even halfway through the season. Could you look at him coming back for a fifth year? So to answer the question directly, is this his last year? Doesn't have to be. That's kind of up to him, the NFL, and this staff. So we'll see. If it is, could Mabson be the starter next year? Absolutely. I would have never said that before this camp started. Two practices in, absolutely. Omar could be the guy next year. As a matter of fact, I would say it might be an upset if he's not. C5 is an old man. I never thought I was until I walked in today. And the song was "It's Going Down," right? And, you know, that has a pretty strong bass. You know, boom, boom, boom. And, I mean, I thought I was going to throw up a couple of times. I had to go outside. Let's see. Does it seem like they're actually further along than they should be, like we anticipate them being? Being there really isn't an install, yeah, that has to happen on offense. I mean, I think I answered that a little bit earlier. It does not feel on offense like there's very much for them to figure out. Kind of feels like they solved all those riddles, answered all those questions after spring. And now it's just like, let's hit the ground rolling. That's the way it feels to me anyway. Any details on Buster's injury? I can't give you any details as far as what happened. The only thing I can tell you is it's not a hard cast yet. He's on a scooter, and it looks to me like it would be like a foot or an ankle, if I just had to guess. There's a lot of support in that area, but it's not a hard cast yet. So what does that mean for the doctors out there? Was there a surgery, and this is what you do before, you know, you put in a hard cast? I don't know. I'm not a surgeon. I'm not a doctor, so I don't really know. So that's all I got there. I see some people ask about Omar's weight. I've heard he's over 220. Roster number be damned. And he looks like it. So, I don't know. Let's keep going. How does Derek Plaz look? He's the number one guy at left guard, just like he was whenever, really, honestly, as spring started. Like, he kind of was supposed to be, at least I say he was supposed to be, felt like he was a depth guy. And it's pretty clear to me, he's the dude. He's your left guard. He's your starting left guard. So I saw more of that from him, looking like you're starting left guard and not letting up. Kyle, I heard we're bringing in Les Miles as a consultant for clock management. Jesus, I hope not. I hope not. All three tight ends are said to be better than what we had last year. I think I'm okay with that. I think I'm okay with that. I really like what I'm seeing out of Jake Johnson. Arliss Boardingham is really turning heads. And then Jonathan Eccles is the one who's a wild card to me because he looks so freakish. Like, he looks so good. And it could be the number, you know, being number one or whatever. It just looks better to me. I'm a single-digit guy. Makes you look a lot faster. But I like that 1-2-3 punch right there. Let's see here. Let's kind of keep rolling down through there. Zach talked about that Howard had 10 catches. How many drops do you think he had? I have no idea. I haven't really noticed a ton of drops. I'm not going to lie. I saw, who was it, dropped one. I saw a running back drop a pretty egregious one today. I want to say it was Tay Meadows that dropped the pass today earlier. But I haven't really noticed a ton of drops. You know what? So Chris Murray has not been out there because he had a slight injury, but they expect him back before camp's over. I just thought about it. I was like, you know what? I haven't seen Chris Murray. Then I remembered he was injured. What so far during fall practice makes you feel like? What is fall practice? How does fall practice make me feel? Or I don't really know that I understand this question. Try it again, Auburnator. Oh, here we go. Here we go. What so far during fall practice gives you the feeling that, yes, we got the right guy? You know, I had this conversation, a similar conversation today. And all of it goes back to the little things, man. The little things lost us so many games. And the little things are what it feels like just are not missed with the staff. I go back to, it feels like we're not searching for things. It feels like we already know our answer, already have our answers. That's one. The whole meal, everybody eat your meal in the same place, peace. Like, that feels like one. The fall camp being like off campus and an actual camp to help build like an actual team and team camaraderie. Like, that's a thing that I'm talking about. Like, those are the things that. Those are the things that I'm talking about when I feel more positive. See Brown throw any deep balls? Yeah, I mean, threw a bunch of them. He's throwing really good. I don't know where this he can't throw a deep ball thing is coming from, because if I'm not mistaken, and I'll have to go back and confirm this, I think he was one of the leaders in the country as far as from PFF goes, as far as deep ball accuracy or deep ball rating or something like that. I'll find the exact stat and we'll talk about it, but look good to me. Have we heard anything about punting? Guys, I'm just being honest. It's so fast and our windows are so short, and the actual punting that is going on while we're there is against nothing. It's just dudes punting the ball to each other back and forth. And then Alex does kick, and I watched him today, and he didn't miss a single kick. I had to go outside and watch, or I would have thrown up from the music, the volume of the music. He didn't miss a single kick. He was kicking a lot from like 40-ish yards and just drilled every one of them. But the punting is just really hard to tell because we don't get to see a punt drill, period. A punt team, period. We just watched them kind of warm up. So I ain't got nothing there. Got nothing for you on punting right now. Can you tell a difference physically since spring in last year's team off the hoof? This is a Facebook question. Yeah. Physically, you can tell Jeremiah Cobb is a bigger dude, much bigger dude. Omar Mabson, much bigger guy. Cody Sigler, super lean, looks lean and mean. Dallas Walker, super lean, looks good. That is clearly one of the – that has clearly been an emphasis. There's no doubt about that. Let's keep going. Any plans for a meet and greet in Atlanta for the Baylor game? I'm working on something at the Bucket Shop. Potentially could be doing a barn cast from the Bucket Shop. Working on that. So, stay tuned there. Stay tuned there for sure. Let me keep rolling through these. Can Alex McPherson win the Lou Groves Award? Sometimes those are lifetime achievement awards. And if he has a good season, dude, that he could be right there in the mix with everything that's going on. Let's keep going. All right, I'll hit some of the others. The non-member chats really quick. Is our running back depth chart Cobb to Omar, then third, the transfer from Baylor, or did the Baylor kid get moved to the second rotation? All I can tell you is how the drills go, and it goes Cobb, Omar, Davenport, Washington. Not Bryson Washington. Yeah, that's how it goes. So he's fourth as far as those go. Big shout out to Joe Led Ford for joining. Thanks, buddy. Thank you for joining. Hit me with any questions you got. Kyle, we talk a lot about depth pieces and key roles, but how are our stars, Xavier, Pleasant, Singleton, just business as usual? I would say yes for Xavier and Singleton. And I don't think Pleasant's done necessarily anything wrong, but Gavin Jenkins, it's the Gavin Jenkins show, other than, you know, Dre. And now that Champ's back in the mix, that throws another wrench in the Pleasant sweepstakes, I guess, of becoming that number two corner. I think he's still probably going to be pretty good chance he's your kickoff return guy. But those other guys, they seem great to me. I know this sounds crazy, but it wouldn't it almost feels like Elijah Melendez may be even ahead of Xavier. He's had that big of a jump. They don't really play the same position, but like, I feel like yesterday I remembered, and then today I remembered, like, it almost feels like that's Elijah Melendez's room at times. I don't think it necessarily has to mean anything. This may be booging. I like the way this is starting off. But with us being close last year with an atrocious offense, I cannot help but think we win close ones this year. Thoughts? I go back to something I said a little bit earlier, but like, how do you win those close games? What's the difference in those close games? What makes the big difference when it's tight and, you know, the talent gap is not necessarily very wide? To me, it's all about culture and all about those little things that you did throughout the week, those little things that you did throughout the summer, those little things that you did in fall camp, and then the culture behind that that helps you win those close games. Like, who's going to out-culture the other? Because it's getting harder and harder to just out-talent the next team with the way things are, the portal and NIL and all that stuff. So I'm with you. I think the little things, there's no guarantee that those equate to wins, but it's really hard to imagine how they don't, I guess. Let me keep rolling through here. I lost my spot. We're further ahead of everyone. Offense is better than the defense. I've told you that. And the defense will be great. It's going to be better than you think it's going to be. Hey, I'm pulling for that, Nathan. I hope that's the case. Any more questions, hit them up. The difference you're mentioning is the difference in the structure at the top. What we saw happen when golf was we saw what happened when golf was prioritized. I think you nailed that one. I'm so excited about the linebacker court. It's giving me Dansby and company vibes from back 20 plus years ago. They're good, dude. It's a really good room. It's funny that like your fourth guy right now is DeMarcus Riddick. Your number three guy is Bryce Diaz. It's kind of an embarrassment of riches there at linebacker. Just keep everybody healthy. Oh, this is a good question. Who has a bigger impact this year, Chris Murray or Bryson Washington? I think I'm totally comfortable saying Chris Murray. And Chris Murray's injured right now. For a time being, like not anything serious. I feel pretty comfortable in that. And I don't even know if it's like one of those situations where I say, I hope I'm wrong. No, I think that's the case. I'm going to get a couple of more, and then we're going to get out of here. We got practice on Saturday. Not sure how I'll pull off the live post-practice, but y'all just stay tuned. I'll make sure that I get that one done. Looks like I hit just about all of them. Maybe I'm just booging. Is this a more explosive offense? If this is more in a more explosive offense, how do we not win more games this year? DJ's back. Defense will not fall off, in my opinion. What's missing? I think it's pretty logical to think that last year the defense was at championship level and the offense was vastly suboptimal. So if you could have average offense last year with the defense you had last year, that could have been the difference in 3 to 4 games, maybe 5 games. Maybe in 5 and 7, you're talking about 9 and 3 or 10 and 2 with average offense. So you've got the continuity on defense with Durkin. You did have to replace some guys, but you had a lot of young guys that are very talented. Logically speaking, if you can just kind of be status quo on defense, and then Alex Golish can elevate from malpractice on offense last year to just average again, you're kind of still in that conversation. I think the logic tracks there. I think the schedule may be a little bit tougher, but I don't think it's a stretch to say that they got the pieces in place to be average on offense to better. Let me back up. Average at worst on offense to, you know, could be, I guess, as good as you want it to be. And maybe take a small step back on defense. And I'm trying to be conservative there. So I'm with you. I think the logic tracks. I'm with you. I don't know what I'm missing either. Pads are on Saturday. You'll have pads on Saturday. We'll see how much popping we get to see. I think that's going to do it, guys. I really appreciate y'all joining 2 days in a row now. We got practice on Saturday. Make sure you stay tuned. You'll see in the alert. You'll see the alert for if we do a live after the fact. But we will talk again very, very soon, guys. Make sure you like. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you sign up for premium. So that those comments are in green and I can make sure to find those questions out. I can find those questions a lot easier. hit the like button. Tell your mama, tell your dad, tell your grandmama, tell your best friend, your aunt, your uncle, everybody about the barn. We're going to be here all fall camp and obviously all the rest of the season. So much, so exciting. Exciting times. We'll talk again tomorrow. Y'all stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening and drive home safely.